Welcome to No Ad, No Problem, a podcast devoted to college tennis and growing the game. Check us out on Twitter at JTweetsTennis and Instagram at No Ad, No Problem. I'm your host, John. Let's serve it up. Hey everyone, joining me on today's show is the current University of Georgia women's head coach, Drake Bernstein. Coach Bernstein was part of Georgia's 2008 NCAA National Championship team as a player and now finds himself in his first season as head coach after serving 11 years as the associate head coach under Jeff Wallace. Coach Bernstein, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So I mentioned this to Jamie Hunt when I chatted with him last week, but it's exciting for me to have you on, not just because you are the head coach of the Georgia women's program, but you and Jamie played a small part in me even having this podcast and following college tennis as closely as I do today.
How about that? Why is that?
So I grew up out here in the Bay Area near Stanford, and I grew up going to Stanford tennis matches, and I had gone to the NCAAs when it was hosted here in 2006, but 2010 was the first year I actually traveled to the NCAAs, which, as you'll remember, was hosted in Athens. That would have been your junior year, and I remember showing up for the round of 16 match against Florida, and No shade to Stanford, but I had never seen an atmosphere like that for college tennis. I didn't know that college tennis could get that rowdy or electric. And you all went on to make the semifinals there, ultimately losing to Tennessee. But that run and that atmosphere made me fall in love with college tennis. And let's just say I've never missed an NCAAs after that 2010 year.
How about that? That was a special night here in Athens. Special team, and yeah, we did end up losing to Tennessee. They had a pretty decent team, if you remember that.
Those are the glory years.
Yeah, and then so you were there 2011 also,
and yes,
Amperon.
Yep. Yeah,
oh man, it's a good days of college tennis.
Yeah, definitely a different era, but I'm excited to chat with you about this new era that we're in now of college tennis. And I want to start with this past weekend. Your team went on the road in your second weekend of SEC play. You faced Florida, South Carolina on the road, come out with victories, 4-3 over Florida, 4-2 over South Carolina. What did you make of your team's performance?
Those are just two great teams, two tough places to play. Getting down there in Gainesville, it's hot. We haven't experienced really the heat, getting to play a match. It's finishing under the lights again against one of the storied programs of college tennis. It's definitely, I feel like one of the top teams in the country this year, and having, you know, the success that we did for both of those matches, it's just we're pretty fired up to still be 4-0 here in Athens this week.
Yeah. And at this point in the season, you're 4-0 in conference play, still have 9 matches in conference remaining. What are you looking to improve upon this weekend and for the upcoming SEC matches?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the doubles is going well, but still has some room for improvement. And then just cleaning up and playing more complete matches as a group. I think that is why our best tennis is still in front of us. I don't know that we've had a day where we connected everywhere yet. We're still waiting for that one to come, but I think it's right around the corner.
So I want to get into doubles in a little bit, but before we do that, if you had told me, January 1st, that Florida and Georgia were going to play and one team was going to sweep 1-3 and the other team was going to sweep 4-6, I absolutely would have believed you, but I would have assumed that it was Georgia sweeping 1-3 and Florida sweeping 4-6. The exact opposite happened this past weekend, specifically for those top three positions for your team. What are you looking to improve upon for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, I think it's just commitment to the way that we play, commitment to our game. I thought on Friday Florida was pretty tough there at 1, 2, and 3. A lot of good tennis, really a lot of aggressive tennis. The more aggressive player was winning the points, and I think that's really what we're looking to get done this week in practice, is getting used to putting it on our racket when it matters the most a little bit more.
Certainly having the home crowd should make that a little bit easier to do, could go for those shots. And I'm curious if those top three, in your opinion, are locked. I look at someone like sophomore Anastasia Lopata. She's won her last seven matches there at the number four position. And in that same time frame, no one in the top three has a winning record. Are you open to moving Lopata up higher in the lineup?
You know, Nas has done great, and she's done very well in the past against, you know, if you look back at last year, even she's got a win over Alexa Knoll. She beat, you know, Fliegner in Michigan this year. She's done great. As far as lineup goes, it's really just where we're at week to week. But I think that those three, certainly over their tennis careers, have proven their ability. And again, I feel like they're best tennis is still in front of them for this year. So, you know, I don't know if we'll give anything away, but we're certainly happy with what Lopata is doing right now.
Yeah. And you mentioned doubles. I assume you're happier with where doubles is this season than last season. It was a little bit of an Achilles heel for you all. I'm curious what you've been doing differently this season to focus on doubles, and how much has, you know, new associate head coach Jared Chaplin helped the cause?
Yeah, I think, you know, Chaps has been terrific. Great doubles mind and helping us establish an identity. Early in the year, we hear you and Gruskin talking about our doubles, and we knew that something needed changing. And we got more committed to playing aggressive. And you know, Chaps, in especially with that one doubles team, has just continued to challenge them. They do well. They're getting better every week, and it seems like every week he has a new challenge for them to keep going, keep raising the ante. And he's injected a lot of energy into our doubles, a lot of belief into our doubles that we play this way, good things will happen. And, you know, we lost the doubles yesterday against South Carolina, but really I felt like it was a good doubles point. We played the way that we wanted to play in this format of one set, no ad, anything can happen. And we definitely feel like we're trending in the right direction with the doubles, and there's still ground to be covered there too.
Yeah, it seems like as we have continued to condense the doubles point, playing one set, no ad, that commitment and that belief in how you're going to play doubles and coming out so quickly early on with energy, that's really make or break in these doubles points.
For sure, for sure.
So this past decade, I'll say, with Manny, Jeff, Jamie, and yourself, it's been all former Bulldogs leading these teams, but Jared doesn't fit that criteria. So be honest with me, how much did you hold that against him in the hiring process?
Not much, because I saw how good he was at his previous schools. I mean, and getting to know him, just an incredible guy. Really cares about everybody in the locker room and is really committed. We did have some battles, if you remember. Well, you may not remember 2011 when we beat Tennessee in the quarters. He was a part of that team, so it's nice to have him wearing these colors now.
Yeah, nice one to have on your side after how successful he was at Tennessee. But not only is Jared in his first year at Georgia, but after 11 seasons as associate head coach, you are in your first season as head coach, now leading this program after Jeff Wallace retired at the end of last season. What's been the biggest surprise for you in transitioning into this new role?
Oh, biggest surprise. Maybe just feeling a little bit more responsibility and just feeling like everything eventually falls back on my shoulders. All the decisions that are made ultimately come with kind of a stamp of approval from my desk versus Jeff's in the past. But we've got a wonderful group here. We've got great staff here at Georgia, and the tennis is really well supported. I've felt nothing but support in the transition and now in year one.
So your former teammate Jamie Hunt is about to make that similar transition as he'll take over for Manny Diaz. Any piece of advice you would give Jamie as he makes that transition from associate head coach to head coach?
Oh no, I mean, Jamie's one of the hardest workers I know, and it's ever since our college days, he was, you know, one that would get after it big time. And so I would just say to continue doing what he's done to get him here. I know he's going to bust it. It's wild to think that I can look across these courts and there's Jamie Hunt over there from where we were 15 years ago.
Yeah, that has to be super special from going from teammates on court to now really teammates in building this program together. How much do you all talk about what it means to build this program, both the men and the women continuing to build upon the legacy that these programs have had for so many decades?
Yeah, I definitely can guarantee you that responsibility is not lost on us. We both walk through these gates every day and we understand what Georgia tennis is. We bounce ideas off each other for how to keep Georgia understood as the mecca of college tennis and to keep this place vibrant and keep the community involved. Couldn't be more excited to continue that with Jamie.
And after you finished your playing career at Georgia, 1 year after Jamie, you took the assistant coaching job at Alabama for the Alabama women there. At what point in your playing career did you realize you wanted to go into coaching? And what made you decide to start on the women's side?
Yeah, it was pretty early. I'd say probably my freshman or sophomore year. I knew I wanted to do something with tennis. And I had two incredible mentors in Manny Diaz and my associate head coach at the time was Will Glenn. And two guys that really kind of changed my life using tennis as that vehicle. And when I got out of college, I was coaching at an academy in Vegas. My wife's from Vegas. She came to Georgia and we moved back to Vegas for a bit. And I realized that I just had that college tennis itch. And so after a few months of that, I got to get back into college. And Alabama was open. Billy Pate was there at the time and he helped put me in touch with Jenny Mines, who recently retired as well. So I started off on the women's side. I started to feel like, yeah, this is a pretty good fit in terms of working through matches mentally. You know, you're not necessarily just going to have where in men's tennis, the serve is kind of hard to keep up with. Somebody can have a serve and forehand. It's just hard to keep up with. On the women's side, there's a lot more problem solving to do throughout a match. And I fell in love with it right away. And then after that year at Alabama, which was great, I had the opportunity to come back home and work with Jeff. And it's been kind of a no-brainer just to stay on this same path for a while.
Could you expand a little bit more on some of the differences between coaching women versus coaching men? You talk about that problem-solving element. I'm sure there were other things you had to get used to that might not have been part of your collegiate career. What were some of the other differences that you've continued to learn as you've made it further down this path of coaching women in college?
Yeah, I think, you know, the communication on the women's side is paramount, where everybody's so different, so unique. What clicks with one person may not click with the next. And I find a lot of this on the women's side is very individual and understanding, you know, somebody's background, where they came from, what has helped get them here, and learning how to communicate effectively with them has been a big piece of it. But really, I do think the problem solving during the match is a big piece of somebody that didn't have much of a forehand as a player myself. It was something that I had to do, and every day was a new way of finding a way to get two sets on the board. And that's as competitive as college tennis is today, I feel like that's a skill that's pretty important to be able to help these young women navigate through some tough matches and situations.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a through line there in, one, the communication aspect, understanding what makes certain players tick for helping them problem solve on the court, right? And I'm sure that looks very different for different players. It's something that Coach Diaz brought up when I had him on the show, was how he adapts to each and every player and how coaching one player might be different than something else. And some of the feedback I had heard from his past players was it felt like Manny always knew the right thing to say at the right time. And for him, he talked a lot about how that came from getting to know these players as people more so than just athletes on the court. Is that something that you've tried to adopt? And if so, I'm curious how you go about getting to know these players at a more personal level off the court, particularly for a Georgia team that has so many players from different countries, different backgrounds, and you have very much a melting pot of a team.
Yeah. No, it's definitely something that has remained important over here on the women's side is, you know, taking it out of Manny's book. And one thing you said about Manny is learning how to talk to people, learning what to say when. And Manny was also great at, knowing when to just let somebody roll and figure things out on their own, and when to just be quiet and let them be. I remember being out here on court four playing a match one day, and Manny typically stayed up there on the upper courts. And one day he came and he was just kind of perched over court four, looking down, and he didn't say a word. He's just watching my match. And there's some kind of spark to where it's like, okay, Manny's watching, Manny's on, I'm going to be good for him. And he just inspired you to be, you know, the best that you could be, not for him in a selfish way, but for Georgia. As far as our team, it's definitely a bunch of different personalities. We're from all over the world. What we say is we want girls that want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, that want to do this thing for Georgia, that want to find out how good they can become. And, you know, if you check those boxes, it doesn't really matter the shape or size that you come in. It's, you know, we're going to be here. And as far as getting to know them, it's really just spending quality time. We put a big emphasis on spending enough time together away from the court, to team retreats. You know, when we're at dinners, we're talking, we're not, in our own worlds. I feel like, just like anything else, the more time you spend, the more you understand.
Yeah, I think that's very translatable for not just coaching and college tennis, but for so many other jobs or teams that exist outside in many other fields. One thing I wanted to talk to you about is your first year head coach here at the University of Georgia, but it's a big inflection point for college athletics. You have things like NIL, you have media rights, you have recent news about student teams organizing under employment laws, potentially becoming employees. How much do these sort of things give you pause about how the role of a head coach might evolve over the coming years in college athletics?
I don't know about it giving pause as much as it is, hey, we're just going to have to be flexible. And that's really what we did. One of the biggest lessons we learned in COVID times is you're going to have change. You're going to get used to change. And because of change, you can find ways to do things better. I think that the NIL is a terrific opportunity for athletes. It's change, and nobody's, 100% comfortable with change right when it comes, but we get used to it, we adopt, and we move on.
So one of the things that might need to change within the Georgia program is, what do you do to win an NCAA title? It's been since 2000 since the Georgia women have won an NCAA title. You're in your first year of the Bernstein era here at Georgia. What are you looking to change, or what needs to happen for you all to claim another NCAA team title?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think it's just doubling down, and you probably hear this too many times, but it's just doubling down on the everyday and doubling down on the process and trusting that the improvements that we make every day, the adjustments that we make every day, will take us to the promised land.
Yeah. And one of the teams that you have had many of a good battles with over the past few years has been Texas A&M. Within the SEC this weekend, you'll be facing them once again. You also have a match on Sunday against LSU, but I want to focus in on the Friday match against Texas A&M. This is a match that I'll be fortunate enough to be at in person, my first time back in Athens since 2017. You all know this Texas A&M team very well. You've kind of gone back and forth in the SEC as the two best teams these past few years. You also got to win over the Aggies this year at indoors. What makes this rivalry so competitive?
I think really, Mark and Jordan have done a great job building a team over there, and it's a deep team. They're traditionally play good doubles. I know that they've lost some doubles points this year, but they have good doubles players. At the top, obviously very strong, but I just think it's great to have other programs like that in the conference that you know are going to require your best day to come out alive on the other side with. But it's, kind of naturally turned into, Georgia and Texas A&M a lot over the last couple of years. And, they've gone both ways several times. They got us here at our place. They got us at their place. We got them at SEC tournament. We got them at indoors. But it's, just going to be one of those special environments under the lights here on Friday. We're just excited to get out and compete at home again.
How much different do you feel like your team is at home versus either on neutral sites or on the road? I think back to the Oklahoma match in the NCAA Super Regional. That was another match that was under the lights, and that was a intensity and a fierceness of your team that I maybe hadn't seen on neutral sites or away matches. Is that something that you all focus on in terms of carrying through that tenacity wherever you play?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we talk about in being together on the road or at neutral sites. But there's just something special about playing here in Athens with the community behind you, with people that you see every day in the stands, coming out and spending their Friday night here with you at Dan McGill Tennis Complex. It's special. And I think that it brings out the best in our teams. It has historically over the years. I think that it brings out, good versions of other teams too. I think people enjoy coming here and facing this crowd and facing this environment. But yeah, it's to me, it's as good as college tennis gets.
Yeah. Well, you hear that a lot, right? So many people saying, regardless of if fans are for or against you, the point and the hope is that you're playing in front of fans. And for many people, I recall Harvard men's coach talking about how special it was to play Georgia at the Super Regionals last year. And that's a much better experience than maybe playing on a neutral site, even if an opponent has to kind of give up a neutral site. It's a special moment for so many players and teams to be able to come to Athens. And I know you and Texas A&M have had many battles over the past few years. I expect it to be another good battle this Friday. When I look back at the indoor match, it was a really close match. You all won 4-2. You took doubles and you swept 4, 5, and 6. Do you think that needs to be a similar path against the Aggies on Friday?
One thing that I've learned in college tennis is that as soon as you start counting on this one or that one, it goes in other directions. I think our big focus is just being prepared to play in 3 spots in doubles and in 6 spots in singles, and let the chips fall where they may. I know that they're going to bring it, that Texas A&M is going to bring it. Friday couldn't get here soon enough. We're just fired up to get out there and battle.
You and I have both learned that over the years, that as soon as you start to kind of do that match calculus, the sooner you're going to look like a fool. I've made myself look like a fool many a times doing it, but I have a fun time doing it, putting the pundit hat on and trying to figure out what it could look like. So I appreciate you sharing your reaction to that. My last question for you is just on the SEC more broadly. Coming into this season, it really felt like the SEC was going to be potentially the best conference in women's tennis, but it started a little slower than I expected. And we're sitting here today, no SEC teams in the top 8. Have you been surprised by that relatively slower start this season?
Look, I still feel like this conference is tough. I think we've got some teams that nobody would be too excited to see in the round of 16 if the rankings held this way. In terms of rankings, maybe we're ranked a little bit lower. We had to play each other pretty much at national indoors. We kind of just beat up on each other. But we know that going through the SEC schedule, you're going to get battle tested and it's going to get you prepared for May. And so, you know, regardless of ranking, the top teams are going to shine in May. And I feel like the SEC is going to continue to get better and be a challenge for anybody in May.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be battle tested. And certainly getting to play more outdoor tennis in the SEC prepares you for the NCAA tournament come May. I am chatting with Dasha Vidmanova as well as we prepare for this match with Texas A&M. What's one fun question I should ask Dasha?
One question for Dasha. You could ask her her record against her coaches.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I will definitely ask her that. Curious to get the response. Coach Drake Bernstein, thanks for coming on the show. It's such a pleasure to talk with you. As I mentioned, it's fun for me and makes me feel a little old, to be honest, to have followed you from playing career to associate head coach to now head coach. Excited to see you all compete in Athens this Friday and wishing you all the best of luck for the remainder of the season.
Thanks for having me on, John. We're ready to have you here in Athens. Get ready for a big night on Friday.